ago today, to this day, was the first day I started talking to my wife, Christina. Such a blessing, right? A year ago to the day today is when I picked up my Penske truck to move out here. So June 1st is a pretty, it's been a good day in my life. And then today would be another one, another milestone, I would say. Getting the opportunity to come out here to teach and to preach and just to help to edify the saints. And God is so good. So I got to give him all glory be to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would have told me 4 years ago, hey, Dan, you're going to get married to an amazing Bible-believing woman, and then I'm going to move you to Indiana, and then I'm going to have you teach and preach the Word of God, I would have told you were crazy. I would be like, what are you talking about? No. But let me tell you something. God is good, and you trust and lean upon him, not your own understanding. He can do amazing things with your life. And again, all glory be to the Lord Jesus Christ. So when asked to go forward as far as, you know, praying about coming in here and teaching something today, I started thinking, you know, there's a lot of topics. I love end time prophecy and things that are being fulfilled and coming to fruition, things that help me strengthen my faith in the Word of God. But, you know, I start praying about it and I start thinking, what's been the biggest blessing in my life? What has helped me be grounded and stable in the Word of God? And that would be sound doctrine. Sound doctrine, Bible-believing dispensationalism, rightly divided, right? And so today, I want to talk about, and this could be a multi-faceted, you know, if I get more opportunities, I can go into things. This is just, this is hitting the, not even the peak of the tip of the iceberg here. This is just going into sound doctrine, seeing what the Word of God says about doctrine and why it's important to understand sound doctrine. So doctrine itself is mentioned 50 times in the Word of God. So again, we see if something's mentioned once, it's already important. 50 times, that should have you thinking, okay, let me really see what the Lord's trying to show me here. If y'all would like to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. I know being here in a Bible-believing dispensational church, I'm sure Hoffman has hit on this many times, right? But that's where we're going to start. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. We're going to hit on a couple different points here in the Word of God that mention doctrine. And we're going to hit on why it's important. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, when you start to compare Bibles, you should know they're not all the same, right? And things that are different are not the same. Don't you find it interesting that if you look at these modern corrupted Bibles, you're going to find the word study is removed. Again, I find it interesting, a lot of people, they'll study for anything. They'll study for exams. They want to build up their knowledge on certain things. But when it comes to the Word of God, people neglect that a lot. They more of just, well, they read it, you know, but they don't really do the extra legwork and the studying. So that ends up leading to not being grounded in sound doctrine, not being grounded in what you believe. Because then you can be swayed and blown around by every wind of doctrine. If you don't know what you stand on and what you believe, you could go by the wayside. Again, in this verse, if you can rightly divide, what's the opposite? That means you can wrongly divide. That means that the Word of God tells you to study, right, to know right division. And if you are not studying, okay, well, then you can come into wrong division. Or then you have hyper-dispensationalists that over-divide the Bible, right? So this is why it's important as a student of the Word of God to study, to show thyself approved. Amen? A lot of people will see, and I was thinking the same, before I got saved, before I came into Bible-believing Christianity, why are there so many different sects of Bibles today? Why are there so many different sects of Christianity? It all stems back to not rightly dividing the Word of God. Again, I could go into that as well. There's another, there's a meme, there's a post that I have that deconstructs cults with one Bible verse. every single one of them, every different sect of unbiblical Christianity. If you have the right scripture, if you understand this book dispensationally and rightly divided, you can knock these cults away with literally one verse. And that could be a topic for another day. But essentially, if you do not look at this book dispensationally and rightly divided, you're going to get caught up in some wonky doctrine, right? We're going to go into it here. We got sound doctrine and strange doctrine, as the Word of God says. Hoffman said it before, and I find it to be true, that everyone is at least partially a dispensationalist. Whether they like to explain that or not, we have Old Testament and New Testament. People will acknowledge that. So it's dishonest for people to say or completely come against dispensationalism because they're like, oh, you know, it's not in there. Well, it's actually mentioned four times. Dispensation is mentioned four times in the Word of God. So it is in there. It's dishonest for you to say that it's not. But to say, oh, well, we're against dispensationalism, well, there's an Old and a New Testament. So there's already a split there, right? So again, that's where it comes down to you studying to show thyself approved, right? So there's, you know, seven different dispensations, but people will say there's eight, you know, being with the millennial. But as you read through your Bible, you'll see that there was a workspace salvation, and then we got this parenthetical period where the Jews, I'm thankful that they rejected Jesus Christ, because us as Gentiles, now we got in. We got a chance to come in here, and a different dispensation came up, right, at the death of a testator, is where the New Covenant came in with the Lord Jesus Christ. Parenthetical time period, Gentiles, we get an opportunity on this thing. And once the rapture of the church pops off, the dispensation ends, it's going back to a works and faith salvation plan, right? And that's why it's important that you study out the Word of God. Not just read it, but to rightly divide it. And the context is key. So again, when we're asking as far as whenever you come across the scripture, you got to ask yourself a couple questions here. Who's being talked to, right? You have the Jews, the Gentiles, and the uppercase C, the church, the body of Christ. So there's three different groups of people being directed to here. So then you got to ask yourself, what's going on? What dispensation is it? Is it Old Testament and where they're saved by faith and works? Are they under the law or are they under grace? Or is it going back to the tribulation saints, where it's again the future tribulation saints, past, present, or future? You got to ask those questions while you are looking at each verse. And if you don't do that, that's when you're going to misapply scripture, and you're going to be thinking you're going to be putting your salvation and trust upon something completely different that's not directed to us today. When it comes to studying the Bible, it is to show thyself approved, right? Context is important. So what is sound doctrine? We hear that a lot today, right? Oh, well, you got to have sound doctrine. We got to know sound doctrine, sound preaching, what have you. The definition of doctrine to the Webster's 1828 is whatever is taught. The principles or positions in any science or system in belief, right? So doctrine is what is taught. Sound doctrine means pure, healthy, uncorrupted, teaching based on the Word of God. So to have sound doctrine is important. I want to show a little compare and contrast as what I talked about before, having sound doctrine or having strange doctrine. If you would like to turn to Titus chapter 2, verse 1. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, right? So sound doctrine is good. It is something that is sound. It is entire. It's unbroken. It's unshaken. And we see that we shouldn't just know sound doctrine, but we should speak on sound doctrine. The sound doctrine, my friends, is what will edify you. It will strengthen you in your faith. Sound doctrine will keep you stable in your beliefs. And again, it comes down to studying it. It comes down to putting in the work to understand why you believe what you believe, and you're not just parroting what somebody told you, but you actually understand it. Now, you can hold your finger there or pop over to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. We'll see about strange doctrine. You know, the doctrine's mentioned 50 times in the Word of God. We got a couple different words that come before doctrine, right? So there's sound doctrine, that's good, that's unshaken. But then we have strange doctrine, right? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been accompanied therein. So again, looking at this verse, as you read any scripture, who's being talked to here? Doctrinally, who's being talked to? The Hebrews, right? So when is this? When's this going on? Tribulation. This is when it's going to come back under a works and faith-based salvation. Paul writing to the Hebrews, warning about these strange doctrines that is going to come among them. Now again, this isn't doctrinally to us in the church age dispensation, but that doesn't mean we can't learn anything from it, right? It might not be doctrinally applied to us, but we can take practical applications. We can still learn from it, right? That's what you read the whole Bible, right? It's for us. It's not all to us. You gotta look at it dispensationally, or you're gonna get wrecked. You're gonna get jacked up in some strange doctrine, right? So when you look at it, you're looking at it doctrinally, historically, spiritually, practically, what applies to you, right? So then we would even have the doctrines of devils. If you go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to look over verses 1 to 3. So first we have sound doctrine, which is good. We have strange doctrine, which isn't good. We even have the doctrine of devils. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the what? Doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Amen. So when we look at this verse here, what's going on? Well, when you understand, when you look at this book dispensationally, we understand that this is a part of our church age doctrine. Romans through Philemon, the 13 Pauline epistles directed to us. So doctrinally, this is for us, right? Okay, that's good to check out. So this can be applied. What's it saying? That people will depart from the faith. That doesn't mean loss of salvation, right? And people will equate that, and then they'll get into the whole mess of, well, they've departed from the faith, so that means they're lost. No, because we compare scripture with scripture, right? Precept upon precept. You have in the Word of God eternal security all throughout there, right? Once saved, always saved. You put your trust and faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe God isn't a liar, and I don't believe that there's any contradictions in this book. So you have to study it yourself to understand doctrinally what's to you, what's not to you, or else you're going to get caught up in strange doctrine, the doctrines of devils, and it can cause you to depart from the faith. Doesn't mean you're going to lose your salvation, but think about it if you have kids, or if you have family, if they haven't accepted the gospel, you may have, and you might go into something strange, but guess what? Now you're raising up your kids in something strange. So they've never accepted the gospel. That's a hairy situation. That's something that you should be cautious of, right? Sound doctrine is important. So we've defended or defined sound and doctrine. So what does sound doctrine look like for us in the church age today? And as I had mentioned before, Romans through Philemon. That is dispensationally to us in this church age. All scripture should be read and studied, but if you, again, you'll run into problems when you don't apply the scripture, when you try to apply scripture that's for you, that's not meant for you, right? And if you try applying anything outside of what's in our church age doctrine, the Romans through Philemon, that's when you can put yourself in under a works-based salvation as found in Old Testament. Or you can go to Matthew 24, where then you're like, oh, well, you have to endure to the end, right? So then you get caught up back in the back end of where it goes back to works, and then you think that that's to you, and it's not, right? You got to ask yourself, who was Matthew being written to, right? And you got to look at it doctrinally. Understanding right division will have you understanding that these verses, that it's not all, it's for us, it's not all to us, right? And I don't believe, we as born-again believers in the body of Christ, I don't believe that we're appointed to wrath, right? So I stand to a pre-trib rapture point of view. I don't believe that we are going through that. And you say, well, Dan, why? Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. If y'all would like to turn there, I could just read it for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 to 11. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do, right? So there's comfort in that. Think about it. The people that are not rightly dividing and thinking that they have to endure to the end, right? They're actually looking for the Antichrist. They have no comfort in that. They have no rest in the scriptures. They're thinking that they have to work and endure till the end, and they're looking for the Antichrist to come on the scene and lop their head off for rejecting the mark of the beast, right? So again, 1 Thessalonians, that is in our church age, the Pauline epistles directed to us. Born again Christians, you are not appointed to wrath. Now, that doesn't mean you won't go through troubles and trials and tribulations in your life. We all have things that we are going through to help sharpen us, to help mold us, to walk in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, where do you get comfort in, we're going to have to wait to get our heads cut off, we're waiting for the Antichrist? There's no comfort in that. I don't find it. Think about it this way. If once you accept the gospel and you become grafted into the body of Christ, you have that spiritual circumcision made, think about it. If God already poured out his wrath upon the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, you're saying that he's going to do it again then. Because if you think, oh, well, we might be saved, but we're going to be dealing with wrath too. You're saying that God's going to pour out his wrath again upon the Lord Jesus Christ? It doesn't work like that. John chapter 19, verse 30 states that it is finished. The Lord Jesus Christ already finished the work at the cross of Calvary, right? And if y'all would like to turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, I'll go into a little bit what I was talking about before, that spiritual circumcision, right? The spiritual circumcision made without hands. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Colossians 2:11, the Word of God states, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, right? So once you're born again, Christ is in you. You are in Christ. That spiritual circumcision has been made. What sense does it make for God to pour out his wrath again upon the Lord Jesus Christ if you're already with him? Not going to happen. I don't believe it scripturally is going to happen. And those that are sealed with Christ are not appointed to wrath. So doctrine, the point I'm getting to here is that doctrine affects what we believe and how we act, right? So it is important on what you believe and what you stand by. If your doctrine is wrong, everything with how you're living your life can be led astray as well, right? And it'll affect those around you. If you would please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy 3, 16. And we're going to be going through in 2 Timothy 3, 16 how you see there's different levels here when it comes to understanding sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 3, 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, I believe that the King James 1611 Holy Bible is the Word of God. Preserved, infallible, perfect, holy, you name it. I believe we have God's Word in our hands today. Anybody else out there? Amen. Amen. Okay, so I believe that. Now, understanding that every word, every letter in this book, it's in order for a reason, okay? So when we have, pay attention to those words, profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is first, before reproof, before correction, before instruction in righteousness. So I would say the fact that that is the first mark out of those couple different words and terms there, that doctrine is important amongst all. If you have your doctrine right, everything else is going to fall in order. And I wholeheartedly believe that. And you're not going to be easily swayed, right? Let me tell you something. I would say I have a little bit of an online ministry. I use my social media. I go out there. I preach the Word of God, rightly divided, dispensationally. I come across some wild doctrine, some strange doctrine, a lot of craziness out there. I try to point people toward the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe that dispensationally, that has helped me to be grounded in why I believe what I believe, right? So you're going to have people out here having all these different types of wild beliefs, right? I mean, even talked about it the other day with Joe, where we were saying, yeah, there's people out there that believe the preterism, right? That they believe that 70 AD, that everything already happened. All the Bible prophecy was already fulfilled, and that essentially they believe that, you could throw away this whole book then. There's nothing to look forward to. They believe everything already happened, and that we're in Satan's little season, and that, you know, there's no hope. There's no nothing. It's all by the wayside. Right? They essentially, preterism is a belief that biblical prophecy, especially end times prophecy, has already happened. And what they tend to do is they spiritualize and allegorize things that are meant to be taken literally in the Bible, in the Word of God. Now, these people believe, again, we're in Satan's little season. They have everything all jacked up. And I can see how that has come to play in modern times. People start looking into the mud floods, Tartaria, ancient technologies that they're uncovering now. It's always been there, right? It's been hidden, but now it's coming out. So now people that don't read the Bible and understand it doctrinally and what's to us, they're going to get this new information, this hidden knowledge, and then they're going to automatically think, oh, well, we have to be in the little season because how is all this happening and all this this ancient technology and all like the old world and the mud floods and stuff, and it sort of can get them pretty jacked up, right? But again, they're not looking at the Bible doctrinally and dispensationally. So again, that comes down to them not studying out the Word of God, and then they're easily swayed off with all these wild beliefs. And if you're a Bible believer that rightly divides the scripture, you should understand that Jesus Christ's second coming has not taken place yet. Amen. And that's something that they get messed up. Preterists, they undermine biblical prophecy. They essentially are robbing you of the blessed hope, right? That's what we're looking forward to. The blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. They rob you of that. And that's something, they got no hope. They're literally waiting on the end. They think that everything already happened and they got no hope. And then it's like, well, why would I want to live for Jesus Christ today if it's all over? There's no point. I might as well, you know, whatever. I'm not going to do anything. It throws you off completely, right? And also with preterists, they ignore right division, obviously. They fail to point out the distinctions between Israel and the church. They mix law and grace. They mess up the law and the mystery. So they got a lot of things all jacked up. But again, this is my point I'm making. It all comes back to right division, to studying out the Word of God. Another massive problem I see today, a lot of people online, you know, getting out there, I see a lot of people going back to Roman Catholicism and Orthodox Christianity, right? And this, I understand completely. I do. I come into the modern church, what do you see? Lukewarm, spiritually dead, progressive. It's all garbage. A lot of people that show up, again, they're not really there for the right reason. It's more of just a hangout thing. I understand completely why people are going back to Orthodox, because they want to get back to the old paths. They believe that there was more strength in that. They had more of their faith. They actually stood by and understood what they believed. And nowadays, most people don't. Why? They don't study. There's so many distractions out there, right? We got social media. People go to ChatGPT before they go to the Word of God. That's sick. Do you understand how we are in the place that we are today? I like I'm saying, I can see why people are going back to the quote-unquote old paths. But you know what the problem is? They completely reject dispensationalism and right division. So they take, what does the Word of God say about having a false balance is an abomination unto the Lord? Okay, so what do? They see the state of the modern church. They see that it is spiritually dead, cold. So they go from here all the way to over here. They swing completely the opposite way, thinking that they're trying to go, I'm trying to get back to the old paths. That's good. The problem is that they're not rightly dividing the scripture. So they're misapplying scripture directed to the old paths, Old Testament, right, or the tribulation saints, and they're taking that and it's jacking them up. It's putting them back under the law and thinking that they have to work for their salvation. That ain't it. I don't believe that. I believe that for the Word of God says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So again, when you don't rightly divide the scriptures are going to go contrary. If you aren't figuring out the different dispensations, then that would make contradictions in the Word of God. Does anyone in here believe that there's contradictions in this book? No. Amen. I don't believe there's any errors in this book. I don't believe that there's anything wrong with this book. I believe it's the Word of God. The King James 1611 Holy Bible, you gotta rightly divide it though. That's important to do that. And when you don't, you're gonna fall back into a lot of strange doctrine, right? They'll make it sound nice. They'll make it sound like they are, oh yeah, we believe Jesus Christ died for us too, and we're saved by grace through faith. But you're gonna have works that show this or that. And it's, dude, they're telling you they're relying upon their works. And then they start, when you go back into Orthodox Christianity and Roman Catholicism, you fall back into everything which they believe, the baptism, the Eucharist, the tithing, everything. It goes back to a works-based salvation, right? And so they'll tell you they believe saved by grace through faith. Not really, no. If you have some discernment, you can see what they're actually saying. And through what they're saying is you got to do this and that and this and that on top of your salvation. Or, once you get salvation, you better have this. making them a fruit inspector, right? And ultimately, it comes down to God. God's the one that knows who's saved and who isn't, right? So that's all down to him. And, you know, I could go on forever about the Vatican, Mary worship, icon worship, literally kissing the bones of dead saints. They pass around dead bones at these places. That's sick, right? That's crazy. No, man, that is jacked up. They're doing some. That is the strange doctrines. That's just they're thinking that it's normal because it's on the old paths. I don't find that in scripture anywhere. Call me crazy, Bible believer. I don't find that in the scripture anywhere, doing all that crazy stuff. The traditions of men is what that is. If y'all would like to turn to Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. Romans 16, 17 and 18. Romans 16, 17 and 18. And again, where is this? Well, it is doctrinally to us. This is to us, right? In the 13 Pauline epistles. Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18 states, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, for by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience..." I'll go into 19. So what do we got there? Essentially, there are going to be people that come contrary to sound doctrine, right? People that they might not accept it themselves. They might not understand what they're doing, or they're, you know, a little wonky in their faith as far as really accepting Bible-believing dispensationalism that's rightly divided. But right here, there's going to be some that come against that doctrine, come against the sound doctrine, right? And that is where they're going to deceive the hearts of the simple, right? You simple people. People that come in here and that are just, again, that might not understand why they're actually here, or what Hoffman teaches and preaches, that this is a Bible-believing church dispensationally. A lot of people that are simple will come in here and, you know, you don't understand what you actually believe. So you're questioning your faith. There's nothing wrong with asking questions, right? But they can, you start asking these questions and you're not sticking to right division, everything is going to get messed up doctrinally, and then they're going to fall into that, and then they're going to deceive the minds of the simple, other people that might not really understand sound doctrine or haven't studied it out themselves. So it can snowball and it can mess up other people. That's why it's important you know sound doctrine. And, you know, a lot of people will say, "Oh, well, Dan, you're just saying this because you were raised up in a Bible-believing church." Wrong-o. No, I wasn't. I was not raised up in a Bible-believing dispensational church. My parents were in Roman Catholicism. I wouldn't call them CEO Christians. They weren't Christmas and Easter only. But we went there, right? I was baptized, communion, confirmation. And after my eighth grade confirmation, my parents said, "Hey, go, Dan. Good job." I'm like, "What now? You can do whatever you want." "Okay, I'm out of here, Chief." I was done. I didn't want to go. I was a kid. I didn't understand why I was going in the first place. And my parents, again, I love them. I'm thankful that I was raised up in that, because I saw good versus evil. And then once I fell away, I didn't know anything. And then got into the world, started picking up on symbolism and what's in the world, and clearly blatant and satanic stuff going on. That's a deep and dark rabbit hole. But that essentially helped me to realize, oh, dude, there is blatant good. I mean, blatant evil. There has to be a good. I believe that there is a God. I want to seek this out. I want to search out what's going on. In my truth or conspiracy rabbit trails, I would call it, you know, I always saw there was a King James only. I didn't see NIV only. I didn't see NSV only. I didn't see any of that. I saw there was a King James only crowd, and I'm like, interesting. Okay. Well, later when, you know, I come to It's a whole story as far as how I really came to salvation. But I end up getting a King James Bible and then start reading it. And I start seeing, hey, I got a fellowship with like-minded believers. I can't lone wolf it out here. I can't do that. So I get online. King James only led to Bible believer. I'm like, yeah, amen. I'm a Bible believer. That led to Right Division. And I'm like, wow. When I got it, when you understand the blessing of Right Division, it should help you. It should not confuse you at all. And then that's when I understood. I'm like, dude, there are no contradictions in this book. It really is laid out. It's out there. And again, what did that stem from? Studying to show thyself approved unto God, right? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So when you understand the blessing of Right Division, so again, I'm rambling here, but as far as, no, I wasn't raised in Bible-believing Christianity. It actually, for me personally, it came down to seeking the truth. Seeking, why is this like this, and why is that like that, and I gotta figure this thing out, right? So that is a part of what's helped me to be grounded and rooted in sound doctrine in Right Division in itself, right? There was a progression there, and it came down to me personally, my heart, and seeking out the truth. And again, there's so many false churches. There's so many corrupted Bibles. When you start looking at the different church ages in the book of Revelation, you see the Philadelphian church age, right? What were they known for? Keeping the word, right? And then after that happened, after the revised versions, the revised corrupted Bibles all come onto the scene, what happened? Laodicean church age right off the bat. Because they kept the word. They kept the 1611 King James Holy Bible. What do we got today? You see how we're falling into apostasy? We're completely jacked up with sound doctrine. There's no final authority. That's the main thing. And that leads to having contention within the church. And that leads to people being so, they don't know why they believe what they believe, because the book that we have compared to the modern church down the road that has the Queen James Bible or the Message, that is so watered down and utter nonsense. You can be looking at the same verse and you're like, oh, hey, look, we're saved by grace through faith right here. And then they can be saying, I don't get that. There's no final authority. There's nothing that we can stand on and agree upon. So again, you got to understand, we are in the Laodicean church age, and there is so much division, and it all stems from not rightly dividing the word. And again, I know, Lord willing, I get some more opportunities just to really go into this. I know it was just talking about, doctrine mentioned 50 times in the Word of God. There is sound biblical doctrine. There is strange doctrine. There's doctrine of devils. How are you going to know what's what? By rightly dividing the Word of God, to studying it out for yourself. And that's something they remove from all the modern Bibles. They take away study. And study is important, my friends. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your Word. I pray, Father God, you help us going forward just to rely on your Word and just to study this thing out and to believe and know why we believe what we believe and what we stand upon. And I give you all the glory, honor, and praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.